The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to America's Web Radio. This is Ron Bachman, and you're listening to Healthcare Insight, where we take a look at the healthcare of the United States, foreign policy, domestic policy, and of course, we are in the middle of the 2024 election cycle. We only have a short amount of time, 40 plus days or so, to go until Election Day. I have been posting my programs relative to exposing and understanding Kamala Harris, taking her views as she presented in 2019, 2020, when she was running for president, and comparing in her own voice the things that she believes in, since she said she has not changed her principles, but she won't tell us what her policies are. So we have to assume the policies that she has been promoting for her whole career, and especially espouse those policies in 2019 and 2020 when she was running for president, are the policies that she would implement with those same principles. Now, she hasn't given any evidence or substantial explanations as to why she would have changed, although her staff keeps saying she's changed her ideals, you know, particularly in a state like Pennsylvania, where Pennsylvania has an enormous amount of hunters, and so she is now for the Second Amendment. Pennsylvania has the second most oil in the country. Most people don't always think of Pennsylvania as having an enormous oil supply, but they do, but you have to use fracking to access that oil and to make it productive. And there are hundreds of thousands of jobs in Pennsylvania that rely on the energy industry directly, and many more hundreds of thousands that apply to them indirectly. So that's why she changed her position on fracking. Not that she believes it, but as Bernie Sanders said, she's just gotten more practical in order to get elected. Well, as listeners of this station know from the conservative bent generally of this program, the Democrats typically break people down into silos. They like to be divisive of one group versus another group, but they have identity politics, I guess is the term that's used. So today I want to go through the identity politics perspective of Democrats to explain why, regardless of which identity and which subsection of which category you're in, and you're going to be in multiple categories, why you should vote for Donald Trump, or you should vote, if you're doing the lesser of evils, you should not be voting for Kamala Harris. Let's take the first major category, depending upon whether you are a male or a female. So let's talk about males first. If you are a male out there, why should you vote for Donald Trump and not for Kamala Harris? Well, it seems pretty obvious to somebody who is a male making this presentation that Donald Trump has the strength, the history, the capacity to build the United States with his America First agenda, with his Make America Great agenda, into a manufacturing company whose country, who's most heavily employing males. Many times they, and we'll get into these educational categories, but it's many times no college, a high school diploma, limited college, maybe an associate degree. People who actually work with their hands and get things done, those are the people who have been forgotten. Those are the people who seem to be the angry majority out there, and they should be angry. They should be angry at the current administration, the current bent that we have towards progressivism, which tends to consider those areas of manufacturing like Michigan and Milwaukee, Ohio, Wisconsin, all the cities and states in the central part of this country is just flyover country. It's those elite in the East and West Coast that think that they are so much better than anybody else. But you take away the male working in the blue-collar jobs, and they'd have a pretty tough time making a go of it, because it is the blue-collar males that really make this country run, the plumbers, the electricians, the carpenters, the workers out there that seem to not be ones that the Democrats care about anymore. They put too much regulation on the businesses that hire these folks. They put too many restrictions. They have emasculated males in many ways, considering them less than other citizens out there. So if you are a male, there's a reason why Walls is not your prototype male that you would aspire to, where Donald Trump, with his strength, where he gets shot and he jumps up and yells, fight, fight, fight. That's the kind of macho male that we need. It's kind of like General George Patton in a fight. That's the kind of a guy you want leading you into a battle. And we are in a battle across the world. So if you want a strong leader, you want somebody who will fight for you, and you want to identify with a strong male to vote for, there's certainly every reason in the world to think that Donald Trump is the best candidate. Now, let's talk about if you're a female. Why in the world would you vote for Kamala Harris? Why? Because she's a female? There's got to be more to it than that. Think about how she has worked against female interests. Oh, she talks about abortion, but that's now gone back to the states. So elected proper state officials, if that is your number one issue. But look what she's done to females. She's destroying the Title IX access to sports with females having to compete against males. She's all in favor of that. She's all in favor of having trans females in the locker rooms of your children. She's all in favor of having teachers' unions really run the schools, and you don't have school choice for your children. So if you're a female and you're a mom in particular, there are lots of reasons why you would want to be voting for Donald Trump, who will protect your children. Think about even the connection that has been made with Robert Kennedy Jr. His big issue, or at least one of his top issues, is nutrition and how it's affecting your children. Donald Trump is going to put him in position that we can really focus on the health and welfare of children. He's going to put in place things that would allow children to go to schools of their choice, the choice that you want them to go to. We're going to take away the things that Vice President nominee Walls has put in place in Minnesota, where if your child is confused about their sexuality and you won't give them what they call gender-affirming care. In fact, the Minnesota laws allow the state to take over, a judge to jump in and take your children from you and give them that surgery without your consent. Now, if you're a female, if you're a mom, why in the world would you let that happen? If you're a female and single, you got to get out there and get a job. Well, what's the best job market? It's not a strategy of hope, of joy. It's a strategy of building up businesses with a business sense. That's why Donald Trump should be your number one candidate. I don't see any reason why any male or female out there trying to make their way in the world, unless you just want more government subsidies, if you want more government spending, which will drive up the cost of groceries, of gasoline, of being able to buy a house, of being able to afford an apartment, whatever category you are in, whatever your lifestyle, whatever your current standard of living is, you know that 4 years ago you were better off. So there is absolutely no reason why you would want to continue with the current administration policies. And you know that Kamala Harris is going to take the current administration policies and continue forward. Why has she not given any policies about economics? Because she doesn't know anything about economics. She doesn't know anything about business. She's never been in that world of what drives business and what allows for business growth and what they need in terms of financing, of capital, of regulations that are slowing them down, how to change all that, where Donald Trump does know about that. So if you want this country to prosper, if you want this country to get ahead, her idea is a new way forward. A new way forward isn't taking the same administration and applying the same rules and regulations and taxes that we've had over the last 4 years. I don't understand how in the world they could be positioning themselves as a new direction when it's a continuation of the Biden administration. The new way forward is the Trump ideas. If you'll notice as well, whether you're male or female, Notice that when Trump puts forward policies for workers, for waitresses, for hotel workers, whether you're male or female, what has he said for those people who cut hair, who provide services many times when there is a tip involved? He said no tax on tips. And then what has Kamala come out with? Oh, she's going to agree with no tax on tips. What did Trump come out with for the elderly? And we'll talk about age category differences as well. He said no taxes on Social Security benefits. Why in the world would the government give a person over 65 receiving Social Security benefits the check for doing that, but then take out taxes on that check when the person's been paying in taxes to subsidize the receipt, ultimately, of those retirement benefits? But the government currently takes out a tax on that. Now, if you're also a male or female goes to the grocery stores, just think about what Kamala has said about how she's going to control the price of grocery stores. It's not to increase farm production. It's not to lower the cost of gasoline, of the trucks taking the supplies, the produce from the farm to the grocery shelves. No, she says she's going to cut down on gouging. Well, there is no gouging. She knows that, but it sort of sounds good as a for people who are gullible. Don't fall into that trap. Kamala is not going to lower grocery stores by looking at companies that are gouging. If anything, there ought to be areas like Trump has proposed, opportunity zones and minority communities where, yes, the prices of groceries and produce are higher because the crime, the taxes, and everything else is higher in those areas. So by giving companies an opportunity to open up grocery stores, Ace hardware stores, mom-and-pop stores that will provide supplies to minority communities, let them have what Trump has called opportunity society areas where these companies can open up with a little bit of a tax break to lower the cost of their prices. When you lower the cost of energy, it's going to lower the cost of everything, whether you're a big store or your mom and pop store. You got to know that that's the way to go. So I don't care if you're a male. There are plenty of reasons why Trump is easily the best choice. We have a track record of 4 years of success, of the lowest unemployment, the highest wage gains, lowest inflation rates. In our lifetime, we need to go back to that, but that's not really going back. That's actually going forward with the policies that should have been continued and were destroyed by the Biden-Harris administration. Well, let's take a quick break, and I want to come back after this commercial, and let's talk about other categories that you might be in, whether it's age, whether it's race, whether it's party, whether it's your income, regardless of your education or your religion. Let's talk about how anybody in any of those other categories would benefit from a Trump administration.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. Thank you.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. Today we are talking about voting silos. If you're looking at the 2024 election and you consider yourself in certain one of these political identities I'm going to try to give you the best reasons why you should be voting for Donald Trump as opposed to Kamala Harris, or at least give people in our audience who may be thinking about Kamala Harris, or maybe undecided, or maybe going back and forth, and you say, I'm not sure I like either one of these candidates. I really don't like the orange man, and I don't like the lady who cackles. I'm going to try to give you some reasons to sort of flip you one direction or another, because voting polling companies and each party, more the Democrats than Republicans, but they think about people in terms of silos, how they identify themselves. And in fact, it's that whole woke mentality that sort of pits one group against another one by using these same silos. So in the first segment, we talked about males and females. If that's where you primarily identify yourself, why as a male or why as a female, you should be considering how to vote. In this segment, I want to talk about age. If your main identity is that whether it's a male or a female, but it's based upon your age. Let's take the age group 18 to 39. That's one of the polling categories that many of these organizations out there trying to anticipate what the election is looking like, or at least taking a snapshot of the election through their polling and then looking at trends from week to week. What if the main thing that you think about yourself is that you are a young person, if you will, 18 to 39? How and why should you decide where to vote and what policies are going to be the best for you? Well, if you're 18 to 39, especially at the lower end there, you're just probably getting out of college or you're getting out of high school in that lower range. Where are you going to get your job? What's the economy going to look like? Where are the businesses developing? Now, some of you come out of high school even or college as entrepreneurs. You can go out and try to develop your own business. Maybe you're good computer programmers. You're big into artificial intelligence. You're big into being able to provide certain consulting services. Or you're great at accounting already, and so you can set up a shop. Maybe you've got some money set aside from some summer work to start a little business. Well, what's going to benefit you the most? The best opportunity for somebody coming out of college or out of high school wanting to start a business is going to be somebody who actually knows business, can get rid of regulations and laws that may be preventing you from really getting off to a good start. Well, Kamala Harris has never run a business. She's never run a small business. She's talking about tax benefits for small business. One thing she's talking about is a $50,000 tax credit for small businesses. Now, if that's what has got your attention, keep in mind she's talking about a tax credit, not a tax refund, because most small businesses for the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years actually run at a loss. So there is no taxes in the real world on most small businesses that get startup, because you're buying equipment. You're making investments. You are trying to build your business, and your bottom line profit is usually negative. You're using up the capital that you're putting in, or if you have investors, they put up money, but you generally lose money during the first few years establishing that base of your business. Your business model does not show a profit in most cases, and so your cash flow is usually negative, using up the capital that you would put in. So this idea of a $50,000 tax credit really is not going to benefit you if somehow that got your attention from the Kamala Harris proposals. Other than that, she really hasn't talked very much about any economic policies that would benefit you. Now, Trump's talked about, and he has a record of getting rid of regulations. When he was in office before, he had told his cabinet to take a look at regulations and try to eliminate 2, 3, 4, 5 for every new regulation that may go in, so that we were downsizing on the regulations. Probably the most important thing for that age is the idea of starting a business and having low expenses. Well, your expenses are going to be lower so that you could have a margin to sell at a profit to your customers. Is the idea of the energy policy. The drill, baby, drill is going to benefit small businesses the most, especially people who are trying to get by on a low income during those years as they build up their business. So Trump clearly has the advantage for the younger folks. Now, especially if you've working for a company, though, you're getting a salary rather than starting your own business. You need to live someplace. You want to live in your parents' or grandparents' basement, as would likely happen under Kamala's economic policy. She has no policy for real growth. But with Donald Trump, he's going to lower the cost of everything by the economic policies that he's already espoused, whether that's lowering regulations, increasing production of oil so that all the products and services and the gasoline is going to be lower. All that's going to benefit you. And it's also going to benefit you being able to then afford housing. Now, how is that going to work? Well, because by increasing the production, we're going to lower the interest rates. Interest rates are going to be a whole lot more, even for young people, than the so-called $25,000 credit to new home buyers that Kamala is talking about. Well, what's that going to do? The market has already said, look at their economics. They said they're going to raise the price of homes $25,000 because they know that you've got the cash to start it up. So they're not going to lower the price. They're not going to keep it the same. It's going to increase the cost. Look at any economic policy or just search economics 101 on Google, and you'll find out that that's not going to do hardly anything to help young people get in the house. The real thing that's going to help young people is lowering interest rates. And remember, under Donald Trump, interest rates more for mortgages was less than 3%. And with Kamala and Joe Biden, they were running 6, 7, 8% for a long period of time. Are they coming down a little bit now? Yes. Why are they coming down? Because the Federal Reserve has clamped down on the economy, and the economy has slowed down enough that now they can lower interest rates, which tends to improve the economy. But why did they lower interest rates? Because inflation was so high. You had to raise interest rates first. Now you can lower it because inflation was so high, it's naturally going to come back a little bit to the norm. But it was the Biden administration that pushed it up so high unnecessarily, and it's going to take a good while for that to come down. But if you have better policies in place, it will come down a lot faster, and that's where Donald Trump's policies will come into play. Now, let's take another category. Let's say you're 40 to 54. You're in those middle years, and you've built your career, you've done your education, you've started a business, or you've proceeded up the ranks of management, maybe, or you've got a good, solid job with a union out there. What's going to be the best thing for you? Well, again, I take a look at the different policies. We really don't know what policies Kamala Harris would promote because she hasn't really said anything. But we do know she's about more business, more business regulations, and more taxes. So if you're working for a company whose taxes are going to go from 21% to 28%, or whatever policy she would put in, she thinks that money comes from the owners of the policy. Well, no, it's going to come from the company itself, which means it won't have as much money to pay its employees, to invest in new equipment, to invest in new markets, to grow itself. So what's going to happen to those companies? They are going to be depressed, and you're not going to have as much chance to get ahead because there's going to be fewer jobs needed as the companies decline. Now, the worst thing in the world that she has, if you've been able to develop any sort of a property ownership, home ownership, stock ownership, which by the time you're 20 to 54, you would have likely done some of that, what's she going to do? She's going to tax something that many people really don't understand or think about much. She's going to tax unrealized capital gains. Now, she says she's going to keep it just to higher income, but you know that ultimately works its way down to nearly everybody. So let's just say you bought a house for $300,000 and you're now age 45 and that house is worth $500,000. So you've got potential capital gains if you sold that house of $200,000. Now, what she wants to do is have somebody, I guess as a government agency, measure that. Maybe it's from your property tax assessments. Something's going to be done. The federal government come in with the IRS. And you're going to say, well, you have a $200,000 capital gain built into your house from when you bought it. I know you haven't sold it, but you got $200,000 and we're going to tax you at, let's say your average tax rate is 30%. Well, now you're going to owe the federal government $60,000 in taxes for the unrealized capital gains. Where are you going to get $60,000 from? Well, you can't unless you save cash in your bank account. The only way to do that is to sell your home. What a stupid idea. Even one of our biggest supporters, Mark Cuban, which many of you know from Shark Tank, says that will destroy the stock market, will destroy housing, will destroy property values, will destroy the American dream. Yet she hasn't backed off on that. She still uses it. Why? Because many people who don't understand finances or taxes, it sounds good. We're going to tax the rich for unrealized capital gains. Well, guess what? Those people will just take their businesses and reestablish them overseas. So now we got businesses moving overseas so that any capital gain on their business, because you got to remember, money these days is fungible across the world. If a big company takes their home base overseas and sells the business overseas, they're still going to have a capital gain, but they won't have to pay that U.S. dollars, and they won't have to be forced to sell their business in order to pay unrealized capital gains. So it makes no sense. Now, the last category I'm going to spend a few minutes on, but it is so obvious, and that is the population that's over 65, those people getting Social Security benefits. What do you think is happening to your Social Security trust fund with the illegal migrants coming in and getting social welfare programs, and Kamala wants to give them not just sex change for migrants that are in jail seeking asylum or don't get asylum approval and they're in jail because they're criminals. They're getting Social Security welfare benefits, SSI benefits, and guess where that's coming out of? Our existing funds that are put aside for Americans. So if you want your Social Security benefits to be secure, you for yourself and your kids and grandkids coming up, but especially for yourself, the illegal immigration policies of the Kamala Harris is ruining, destroying our Social Security trust funds, our Medicaid capabilities. Yes, because Medicaid is like 60% coming from the federal government, so it's going to destroy the federal government treasuries. There's no way in the world you would go with Kamala Harris, who's going to destroy the trust fund, and where you also have Donald Trump saying he's not even going to tax your Social Security benefits. So if you're over age 65, it's a slam dunk. There's no reason in the world, regardless of what your historical politics have been, for you to vote for Kamala Harris and her crazy tax and her crazy Social Security destruction policies. Well, let's take another quick break and we're going to come back and look at these different political silos.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to this third segment of America's Web Radio, and we are talking about voting silos and what might encourage people to vote one way or the other in this 2024 election. How do you best identify yourself and the policies or the promotion of one candidate versus the other one. Too often we think of ourselves and look for one issue. In many ways, I see this election as sort of being an emotional category versus a logical category. Many of the people that Kamala Harris seems to be targeting with her campaign are people who are more emotionally connected to her. The idea of hope and joy. We have been suffering from such chaos for such a long time in this country of fighting one group against the other one, which, you know, is this sort of identity politics that's been too strong for too long. But people are tired, and I understand they want to get on with their life. They don't like the conflict that goes on. They don't like the division that's going on. They don't understand what's happening to them. They're trying to live their life, and they don't really follow politics or understand economics necessarily, what drives prices up or down or how free markets work versus controlled markets. I understand all of that. But as we move forward, people out here in the audience need to understand that there is a logic behind what happens. There is a cause and effect. So if you're more of an emotional person, you don't like the way that person looks, or you don't like the way that person dresses, or you don't like that the way that person does a mean tweet, or you don't like the way that person laughs or cackles, whichever side you're on there from an emotional side, your life is really driven not by the emotions of our leaders, but by the policies that they implement. And so I want you to rethink how and why you would vote for a particular candidate. Now, I know that maybe many people in this audience, if they've even listened to the first two segments, if you're a Democrat and you historically voted Democrat, maybe you've turned this off and you've moved on. But if you haven't, or if you're still in between, or if you're a Republican who knows that you do want to vote for Donald Trump, but you've got family or friends or neighbors, think about some of these arguments that I want to present to you as to why, regardless of who you are, whether you're male or female, whether you're a young person, an older person, or a retired person. I want to get into one of the biggest categories that we all struggle with, and that is race in this segment. I want to talk about who would be the best candidate to affect your life, regardless of what race you are. So let's start off with if you are white, if that is your dominant identification, is that you are white. Well, think about what's happened over the last 4 years. You've been told you have white privilege, and so policies and regulations have been working against you, whether that's admission to college, whether that's job selection, whether you're being forced to go to these diversity, equity, inclusion classes that your company may have adopted that tries to tell you that you are racist, you are bigoted, you are inherently that from your moment of birth, and you can't control it. You don't even know that you're bigoted, but you are, and they try to guilt you and into this idea that you are a bad person, you are an oppressor. So is that what you really want this country to go forward? And that is the primary push of the Democratic Party, the DEI, they call it, diversity, equity, inclusion. And there is a pushback going on in this country against that because it demonizes people who are doing the best. This country is not racist. People live together. They work together. They have sports where they're playing together. They're in the same locker rooms. Our kids are going to the same school. Race doesn't matter like it used to in the 1960s when we had to go through a period of time where some great leaders stepped forward like Martin Luther King and Andy Young and Ralph Abernathy. You had Robert Kennedy and the Kennedy administration who sent people into Little Rock or into Birmingham so our schools are integrated. We are not in that era, although many people who make money off of dividing us like that seem to want to keep us there. And we've got to tell our leaders, no, we're not in that place anymore. And we don't have apologies for what might have happened 200 years ago for slavery, because 600, almost 700,000 people in this country, most of whom were white, died in a civil war, which was not civil at all, in order to free the black population in our country. And there's so many mixed marriages that have happened during the last 200 years. Many of us don't even know whether we really should be identifying as black or as white or mixed. We used to use a term that was sort of reprehensible, called them mulattoes. And they said, if you have one drop of black in you, you're black. And you had Jim Crow era. Well, all that is past. This country is ready to get past it, but it doesn't seem like our leaders are, because many of them make money off of teaching these DEI classes or standing out as civil rights leaders. Why is it that the black community feels that they have been oppressed after 200 years, but you've got immigrants that come to this country that take advantage of the opportunities, whether it's the Asians, whether it's now the Hispanics that will come in this country, because they don't have national leaders that keep telling them that they can't get ahead unless we get rid of this discrimination that is still playing on them. Now, am I saying there's no discrimination in this country? We all are discriminated against. My background, being white, but coming from Europe, my family was discriminated against because of our religion. Everybody is discriminated. That's human nature. Somebody is going to try to get ahead by thinking they can put somebody down. But that's not who we are as a country, as a society. So if you're a white person, why would you want to continue this whole process of being demonized? If you are a black person, African-American descent, why do you continue to vote Democrat when, if you take a look at where the concentration of black populations are, it's in these big urban cities, whether that's Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Baltimore, Atlanta. Now, you're continue to vote Democrat, and all they do is give many of the Democrats a little bit of money to think they're getting something for free, but they keep them down from advancing and taking advantage of the American opportunities that were there. Now, Atlanta is a great example of where there actually is a lot of prosperity for the black community. Why is that? Well, I think this happened over time. You got to remember, for those of you who aren't from Atlanta, the city government is there, the state government is there, the federal government is there, the county government is there, and they have used it as a program for jobs and education in the black community. Atlanta also has Clark, Morehouse, Spelman, the black colleges, the HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities, that has educated the black population. That is the way the black population should be advancing, like has happened in Atlanta, through education and job opportunities, training. That has advanced the black population. But for those of you in Atlanta, and Georgia is a critical state, recognize that that has not happened in many other communities, that the black population in the downtown areas are being run too often, too much, by gangs, by drugs, by alcoholism, by all the things that destroy a civilization. That is happening in our inner cities far too often, and the black communities still come out and vote Democrat, the same corrupt leaders that have kept them in place. Many conservative black leaders consider that to be the modern-day plantation that the Democrats have put the minority community in. Have they really helped the minority community? As Donald Trump once said, what have you got to lose? Vote him in. And when that happened in 2016, he got a larger percentage, not very much, still only about probably 10% of the black population. That was more than most Republicans would get when they get 5 or 6%. But he proved that he was interested in the black community. He fully funded, not just annually as Democrats made them come and beg for more money each year for the HBCUs, he gave them permanent full-time funding. He created opportunity zones, working with a black senator from South Carolina, Tim Scott. He created all sorts of job opportunities and growth in the black communities. He tried to help many of the cities with federal funding and programs, but those black leaders in the city council and the mayor's office rejected it. Well, it's time that the that the black leadership in those communities got the word from the black community that we want the help. Defunding the police didn't help. Is that what you really want, defunding the police in these areas? Maybe as a black business person or as a black who's gotten a good job, you've moved out of some of those dangerous areas, but your fellow African-American minority neighbors are still stuck there, and they're not getting the help that they need when you defund the police or remove the police. Do you think in a white suburban area, if there's a lot of crime, that people would say, oh, we're going to solve our crime problem by getting rid of the police protection that we have, or we're going to solve the problem by taking down the gates and the guards that we have out there? No, that's not what happens. That's not the way you solve it. And that's what Kamala Harris has been talking about for her whole career, defund the police. Yeah, she talks about being a prosecutor, but what she did was she prosecuted too many minorities and put them in jail for marijuana abuses. So what if you're Hispanic? Let's take that as another category. If you're Hispanic and you got here legally, you don't want a lot of illegals coming in. You're trying to get ahead. You're trying to get those, in many cases, starter jobs. Many of you came in with skills, and that's great. And you're working for big companies. You started your own business. You've got all sorts of good things going on in your life, and you're taking advantage of the American dream. But it took you years in many cases, and you paid the money and the time to become a citizen. And you're an informed citizen now. And as we see, many of the Hispanic communities are now voting more than 40% for Donald Trump, at least in the polls. Well, why aren't they 50, 60%? Because he's the one that's giving you the real opportunities. Do you really want 20 million undocumented people who come in through the southern border to be able to take advantage of the situation and take the taxes that you're now paying in and use for themselves to become dependent on the government? You came here because you want to take advantage of the opportunities, not take advantage of government welfare programs. So I understand if you're Hispanic, you're more likely to be wanting to vote more and more for the Republican Party, and I encourage you to do that. And I encourage you to talk to your neighbors and your friends and your family about why you're voting Republican so that you can get ahead and ultimately your kids can have a real chance at the American dream that you sought out when you came here legally. Let's take another break, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about other categories of people who vote and why they should be thinking about Donald Trump and not Kamala Harris. Be right back.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. Thank you.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to our final segment this week on America's Web Radio. We are talking about what I've called voting silos, if you will, this identity politics that we've all been exposed to over the last number of years, I guess for decades now, trying to split us one against the other one. So I want to use that same identity politics perspective to see where you are and how you best identify yourself when it comes to voting in 2024. Let's talk about party affiliation, because we've already talked about whether you best identify as male, female, whether you best identify by your age category, whether you best identify by your race, or some combination thereof of those things. They're not always just one versus the other. You are in several of those categories, but I've tried to give you reasons why, regardless of which one you best identify as your sort of dominant perspective on who you are, I want to talk about party. I want to talk about whether you're currently a Republican or a Democrat, because in most states you register as a Republican or a Democrat, but not in all states. And so you may be independent, or you may in those states be able to register as an independent. So let's talk about what party you are a member of and some of the different segments within that party. Let's start with Republican. There are many people in the Republican Party who just don't like Donald Trump. They call them the Never Trumpers. Okay, so you have people like Vice President Cheney, who has now endorsed Kamala Harris. Now, why in the world would a Republican like Dick Cheney, who was vice president under George Bush, why would he decide that he wants to vote Democrat? Well, when he was a Republican vice president, what did the Democrats say about him? They said he was a warmonger, that he was an evil person, that he was not somebody who had a high-profile, likable personality on the scale for Democrats. He was evil. Okay, so why is he promoting Kamala Harris, and why does she highlight both Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, his daughter, as being a good supporter of Kamala Harris? Well, the interesting part is that the Republican Party is now the party of peace. There was no wars started under Donald Trump. He was ending the war with some dignity. We had gone on for 16 years or more in Afghanistan. He was developing a peace accords called the Abraham Accords in the Middle East. Russia had gone into Ukraine, the Crimea area, under Obama, but they did not try to pursue any further aggression while Donald Trump was president, because they knew how strong he was. So the Republican Party, interestingly enough, has really become the party of peace. That's another reason why Robert Kennedy, a Democrat, is now supporting Donald Trump. Now, he's supporting him for several reasons, doesn't agree with him on all things, obviously, but he agrees with him on being more of a peace party and untangling ourselves from being the policemen of the world and getting involved with areas in direct conflict with Russia that has us on the brink of World War III. But what is Kamala's policy as a Democrat? So you're sitting there as a Republican. Do I really want to vote for Kamala Harris? Well, she's been part of the policies of the Biden administration, where the world has been on fire in Ukraine and in the Middle East. They haven't done anything. They talk about having some peace accord, of getting our hostages back, but they really haven't accomplished anything. Why? Because they're so weak. There's no strength there. Remember the history, if you're not old enough to actually have lived through it. When Jimmy Carter was a very weak Democrat president and Ronald Reagan trounced him in the polls in 1980, we had hostages that were being held in Beirut, Lebanon. And the minute at noon when Ronald Reagan was sworn in as president, those hostages were released. Why? Because the terrorists knew that Ronald Reagan was a strong leader and that he would take action against them almost immediately if they weren't released. So that's how you get hostages released, not by negotiating and trying to get peace by giving money as we have. We're taking off sanctions, which we have, to Iran, which really controls Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. We've got to have a strong leader. And if we have a strong leader, those hostages, if they're even still alive, will be released almost immediately. And we will have peace again in this world, because Donald Trump is the president for peace. Democrats used to claim that title. They used to claim that as their policy, but it's reversed. Obama, Biden, Harris have all been involved in wars across this world, and the Democratic Party is now the warmongering party, which is why they willingly accept Dick Cheney, who's part of that, what they call neocons, who think we should be involved in more wars and conflicts around the world. So if you're a never Trumper, do you really want our country to continue with wars? Now, why would people want to continue with wars? Well, because there's money in it. Again, it's always follow the money. There's a lot of companies making a lot of money, like Halliburton, which Dick Cheney used to be CEO of, like all of the military industrial complex, the people that make the bombs, the people that make the planes, the people that make the ships, the guns, the ammunition, all those things, there's money to be made by corporations, and they have big lobbyists, and so they want to be involved in wars. That's how they make their profits, and we can't allow the industrial complex and the big money, which has taken over the Democratic Party, to continue to pursue these wars where our young men are dying, where other people in other countries are dying, the country is being decimated. It's going to take us billions of dollars, because we're a good people, to help to rebuild Ukraine. Have you seen those pictures on TV? Buildings are devastated. The schools are devastated. People have left the country. Hundreds of thousands of young men have died. And Donald Trump says he wants to stop people from dying. Will he cut a deal that gives Russia something and Ukraine something in order to stop the killing? Probably. He says he'll finish it in 24 hours. Well, how will he do that? I don't know. It's a secret plan, I guess. But I'm willing to trust him, because that's been his personality, is to stop wars. Now, will he cut off some of the financing that Russia has been getting with the high oil prices? Yes, because he'll drill in the United States, and that will cut off funding for Russia. He will cut off the Russian pipelines that are going into Europe. He'll change the relationship that's been too cozy between Russia and China and Iran, and we're now seeing Russian ships in Cuba. Where's our government stood up against that? Our administration's been promoting dictators in South America over politicians that would promote democracy. Read the details. Go back and do some of your research. So if you're a never Republican, a never Trump Republican, or you're a Rhino Republican, come on, let's think about the country for once, instead of the profits of some big companies, which you may or may not even have stock in. Well, let's talk about if you're a Democrat. Well, you know, if you're a lifelong Democrat, it's pretty hard to change. It's like being a fan of a football team. You know, if you've been rooting for the Dallas Cowboys the whole time, you really don't want to go and do anything favorable for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the reality in this case is that the Republicans are going to offer the best opportunity for Democrats to get ahead. Many of the Democrats are in those categories I've talked through earlier, where they would benefit by a better economy, by lower interest rates, by better housing opportunities, by better educational opportunities, by better peace in the world, more peace in the world, less chaos in the world. You know, the Democrats talk about Trump as a threat to democracy. Well, really step back and try to be a little bit objective. Who has been the threat to democracy? Who's talked about packing the Supreme Court? Who's talked about changing the Electoral College? Who's talked about the threatening of the Supreme Court justices? Who's not been providing the right security services to the opposition? Who's been working behind the scenes and sending people from the Department of Justice down to local areas to help support the lawfare that's been going on against Donald Trump, and having local laws and special prosecutors that have been illegally appointed with DAs that have been funded by George Soros, who wants to destroy this country. Think about how they're trying to change democracy in this country. I mean, just take the immigration issue. Really, 15 to 20 million plus people coming in this country who don't speak our language, who don't know our skills. We have an open border. Do you ever put it into perspective that there are 7 billion people in this world, and the United States is better off than 99% of those people? Do we really want to have the United States destroyed by bringing in 100 million, 200 million, 300, a billion people or more into this country, and we're supposed to support them because we've got this great economic engine of prosperity? Do you really think the great engine of economic prosperity is going to survive? The goose that lays the golden egg is going to be able to live under the conditions of expanded government, of price controls, of DEI, of trying to support that many people on welfare? It doesn't work. When you have people come into your country, they have to at least not be on welfare. They need to bring something positive to your country if you want your country to be able to advance and prosper. That is not happening. So if you are a Democrat and you've historically voted Democrat, again, think about the future, not a future controlled by Democrats in Washington who are going to try to control you and going to let unlimited numbers of thousands, of hundreds of thousands of people cross the border and take jobs and opportunities away and destroy our funding for our welfare benefits. Do you really want that for your kids and grandkids? Think about the future of somebody other than yourself, and at least give Donald Trump a try to fix things. He did a great job when he was constantly being attacked while he was president with fake charges. Russia. 2 impeachments that were fake and phony. All the things that he had to put up with while he was in office, he now knows, because he was an outsider, didn't know who to trust and how to work the system. And so they played him. The CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice all played him and slowed him down. If he gets in there again, he will know how to fix the system. He's not going to go for retribution. He's not going to do what the Democrats have done to him. He wants to, his punishment for those people is the success that the American people will have. Why in the world would he do what he's doing? He's a billionaire. He doesn't need this. And all these charges, remember, the lawfare against him came up only after he announced he was going to run for president again. If he had not said he was going to run for president again, these charges never would have occurred. The first time in history that an ex-president has been charged with these kinds of fake charges. So I hope you stayed with me. I hope I've given you some background and support if you're a Trump supporter. I hope I've given you some extra food for thought if you're not. Join us next week, and we'll talk more about politics and the 2024 election. Thank you for staying with me this long and listening to what I have to say.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.